For the past 2 days, we have been looking out from the window and seeing a couple of little birds. I forget the name, and Margaret just looked for their name. Not the individual name, but what are they these birds are called. And this beautiful little bird with a red crown is coming and hitting the window time after time after time. All day yesterday, this morning, I came down for breakfast with my wife. And my wife said, in Armenian, gente asturchuna. That means this bird is crazy. My wife says she got dizzy, but the bird kept hitting the window, the glass. And I thought, why? Because it's driven from by its inner mechanism that is not controlled by the brain. And then I thought of myself in the morning. I get up, Sunday morning, I go to the cupboard and open the cupboard and look at my ties, and I have a lot of ties. And I have to choose now which one I should wear. Does it go with my suit? And I'm sure, ladies, you have done a lot of similar things. You choose things. So that tells me that God has given us a very special gift, the free will. To know what is good and what is bad, to choose between things, to decide about things that will be either good or bad. Now, in the church also, there are things that we must pick and choose, or people pick and choose. The difficulty in the church of Ephesus, actually, was the same difficulty as it is today. Churches are facing. They were not sure whom they should follow. Most decisions people make are based on the cultural and traditional norms and lifestyles of their environment. Let me repeat that. Most decisions people make are based on the cultural and traditional norms and lifestyles of their environment. Today, Christians more than ever are confused and torn in trying to choose between the lifestyle and culture of the world and the way of life God approves and accepts. You notice I didn't say the lifestyle of the church, because it's not a lifestyle that we can choose. It's what God wants us to do, or God approves and accepts. That is why we, the followers of Christ, must make constant choices in our spiritual journey of life. Do we choose that which displeases God, or that which pleases God? But more often than we would like to admit, we negotiate or compromise and then justify our decisions and actions. I've heard from people, and I've received emails trying to explain why they believe this way, why they believe that way, what is it that is bothering them, why is this and why is that, and then they try to justify some things that they have been doing or they want to do. And this, it seems sometimes this free will we have, and some people don't believe in free will. Some people say that everything we do, every movement in our life is controlled and guided by God, and God is doing it. And if I would accept that, then I would say that I have no choice in anything I do, and God is the one that is leading me to sin or helping me to do this and that. But I believe that the Bible is very clear that every one of us has been given a choice to make, or many choices to make, or I should say, a free will to choose. Every believer has to make choices. Do we follow the loving God, or our Creator, or we choose to follow the gods of the world. Let me rephrase that. Are we following the living one God, or we are following the trend or the culture or gods that the world has created and is creating every day? Joshua challenged all Israelites and said, and I quote, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." I remember back home in Athens, Greece, my parents had a verse on the wall with big letters in Armenian. And forgive me if I said, "Yesuim dunasi o vabini bashte." And that's exactly what this verse is. "But as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord." There is a choice to make, Joshua says. You're not like the birds. You're not like the animals that are driven by an instinct, by their nature, and they have no choices. You say, "Oh yeah, they do have choices. They can either jump this way or that way." Well, I don't know. I cannot know exactly how it works, but I know that I have a better mechanism than the animals have, and that mechanism of choice is put there by God. Joshua challenged the people to forsake idolatry and serve God. He did not say it was okay to serve other gods as long as they serve the living God too. He said either the living God or their God. Today what we have ended up doing, or when I say we, in Christendom, Christians, we always justify things. "Well, it's okay. Look, as long as you believe, it's okay." Now, they don't even explain, or they don't even identify what you believe in. But, or as long as you have faith in God, and as long as you go to church, as long as you don't... But the Bible makes it very clear that we either worship the living, the one God, or the small little gods that are around us. These little gods could be money, could be fame, could be beauty, could be sex, could be drugs, could be smoking, could be gambling, it could be whatever that is. And we have those gods that we worship, and we are enslaved to these gods. And Joshua speaks for God and says, "But for me as my household, we will worship the living God." He asked them to make it an either-or choice, an exclusive choice. Not an inclusive choice, but an exclusively God, the living God. Not God plus, not faith plus, not salvation plus, but only exclusive worship God. Writing to the believers in Ephesus, Apostle Paul said, "Be imitators, followers of God." The same challenge and question applies to us too today. Are we going to follow the gods of this world system or the one living God? You say, "Who are these gods?" Well, you know the gods where you are. If whatever you're doing you feel is more important than the living God, then you have another God. If what you are enjoying more than enjoying God's presence, then you have another God. If your time is more important to you than it is for God and use it for others, then you have another God. The choice seems to be very clear, but very often applying that choice is our daily living. In our daily living seems to be very difficult. And I know this. I go through that daily. As a matter of fact, when I get up in the morning, I say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to go there. I'm going to make sure that I don't argue my wife. I'm going to make sure that I don't aggravate my children. And I have all these plans. Most of them fall apart. And yet I do have the mind set to say, I want to do these things. The gods of this world are very powerful, and their influence is strong. Being a Christian and living a godly life is like swimming against the current. And we all know what salmons do. Salmons swim against the current. And this is not something that they decided to do. It's their nature. But when it comes to us, our nature is to follow the crowd, follow the current, and to do the things and enjoy the things that everybody else is enjoying. And swimming against the current is something that we find it very difficult. The corrupt and ungodly world system in which we live makes it very difficult to go forward, but God is there to help us through the Holy Spirit. Yes, it is difficult. I would be the biggest liar if I would say it's so cool, it's so easy. I get up in the morning and God guides me and I make all the right choices and I say the right things. It will be a lie. It's hard. And yet I do have the protection of God, and yet I do have the Holy Spirit convicting me of sin and helping me to make wrong things right. Apostle Paul tells the believers in Ephesus that the Christian walk is at least three things. It is walking in godly love, the kind of love that Jesus demonstrated on the cross, dying for sinners. I believe, you may agree or disagree, that it is impossible to live a Christian life without having that very special, that very unique love, the very unique love that God only gives to, or we only start enjoying and sharing with others when we are born again in the family of God. The blood of Jesus Christ washes all our sins and then gives us a brand new page. And then we start loving. Is it easy? Is it automatic? Is it natural? No, it's unnatural love. My heart, my brain, my body says, don't do it. Don't love. Hate this. Avoid this. The love of Jesus Christ says, love your enemies. So it's a daily choice. It's not easy. That's why Jesus said, if you want to follow me, just think this and understand this, that you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. Now, that's not what I hear on radio and television these days. They say, well, all you have to do is just this. And then God is going to pour money on you. God is going to give you real health. God is going to do this for you, as if God is a waiter taking orders for us of what kind of meals we want daily. No, that's not what the Bible says. It is being light in the world. And you say, light in the world? What world you live in? How can I be a light at school? How can I be a light at work? Everything is corrupt. Everything is dark. Everything is with sexual immorality, with drugs, with smoking, with thieves. And look, God knows this. Jesus knew that. That is why He has sent. He came in the person of the Holy Spirit to help us. It is being light in the world. It is being wise, not foolish. Believers should walk and live in wisdom. The wisdom comes from God through His holy word. You say, well, I want to be wise. I want to quit doing this. I want to quit exercising this or being in this particular activity, and yet I can't. And it's true, you can't. I cannot. I mean, when the doctor says from now on you're not going to be eating fried whatever, or you're not going to be drinking alcohol, or when he says you're not going to be doing this, it's not easy. You go home and your body craves it. And your mind wants it. Your eyes focus on things that you're not supposed to be doing. Your body pulls you to the thing that gives you pleasure, and yet your soul is weeping. The Holy Spirit is pulling you away from that. So it's a daily, daily torture for someone who has divided will or worships to God. Now let's look at these three things Paul is writing about. First, walking in love. When he wrote to the church in Corinth, he said, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. You say, yeah, right. You want me to be all that? It's impossible. Yes, I agree with you. It's impossible. I've tried to do that on my own millions of times, and I have failed. It is not easy to love someone that aggravates you, that hates you. It's not easy, and yet the Christian walk was never meant to be a picnic. Number two, stay away from impure things, the Bible says. Jesus said, be holy as I am holy. What is impurity? Well, Apostle Paul starts with sexual immorality of any kind and then moves to sin in general, such as impurity of thought, filthy language, suggestive jokes, foolish talking, etc. Believers are warned to have no part in such ungodly behavior. To do so is to dishonor the name of Christ, to destroy other lives, and ruin one's own testimony and bring terrible retribution. I mean, it's the comment we hear usually, it was a joke. You have no sense of humor. It was only a joke. And yet this joke may ruin someone's life. Bullying today has been publicized because those who joke with a person's looks or body or whatever have started torturing this person, and this person cannot deal with the pressure of the jokes and the harassment, and then finally kill themselves. You say it's only a joke. It's a joke for you, but not for the person. So the Bible, he who does not believe in God, he who is not following Jesus, is always tempted to do the wrong thing. But rather, the Christian believer must be light in the world and live as children of light. In Ephesians, we read once again, and I quote, were once darkness, but now they are light in the Lord. The writer, Apostle Paul, does not say that at one time you used to be in darkness. No, he says, you were darkness. That means that there was the absence of light in you. What is darkness? Now through Jesus, they have become light. He is light. They are in Him. So now they are a light in the Lord. Therefore, they should walk as children of light, producing the fruit of the Spirit, consisting of all forms of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness. Goodness here is an inclusive term for all moral excellence. Righteousness means integrity in all dealings with God and man. Truth is honesty, equity, and reality. Put them all together and you have the light of Christ-filled life shining out in darkness around you. Light, by nature, exposes what is darkness, and the contrast shows sin for what it really is. When you take a diamond and you put it on a white page of paper, you don't really enjoy its brilliance or its beauty as much as when you take that diamond and you put it on a black or blue, dark blue velvet. Then you see the diamond. You see how it stands out on that dark background. What you see is the beauty of the diamond. That's what it is with a Christian believer. At one time we were lost, and now that we have become a pearl, a diamond, and when people look at us against that darkness, they see our brilliance, us shining. Light by nature exposes what is darkness. Verse 11 says, have nothing to do with the futile deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Verse 15 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Christian walk is a walk in wisdom, and it is manifested in the lives of believers who understand the will of God and live by it. Verses 16 and 17 say, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish and understand, but understand what the Lord's will is. It says, making the most of every opportunity. I know people say, well, I have one life to live. I can't waste my life going to church, going to Bible studies, visiting sick people, calling people with their problems for their problems. Well, what is life to you? Is life only having pleasure? As I often say, at one time people would give everything they had for money. They would give up their families, their whatever there was, their pleasures, to get more money. Today that has changed. People would give everything, their money, their families, their careers, everything for pleasure. The God of this world has become pleasure. 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 In these evil days we live, you must decide where you should belong and whom you will serve. But now is the time to choose whom you will serve, Jesus or the corrupt world system. You say, well, I can't get out of this world. I have a business to run. I have a school to go to. I have a school where I go and teach. I have a husband. I have children. I have a wife. Yes, God knows all these, and God will help you enjoy your family. God will enjoy the relationship with your wife or husband. God will help you enjoy your job, your sports, everything, if you put Him first and choose Him to be your living God. The eternal destiny of your soul rests entirely in your hands. It's your choice. Jesus said, we must make an either-or choice. He said, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Today, though, most Christians have changed that a little bit. Well, I've got a life to live, so yeah, I'll go to church. The church has become only an insurance policy. The church, God, has become only an after-death thought. But if you believe in God, if we believe in God, then we must believe what He said, that we must choose Him, either Him or the world. God wants us to make an exclusive choice. We will either serve Jesus or we will not. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us one more chance to make a choice in our life. To either choose to continue following you and get closer and closer to you, or choose to turn our lives to you completely if we have never done it before. Or just ignore your message. Or just ignore your words and do nothing. And that nothing will lead us to eternal death. Father, we thank you for speaking to me and to each one of us. Help each one of us to hear your voice and respond to it. May the Holy Spirit touch each one of us and help us make the right choices and make the right choice this morning. In your blessed name I pray, amen.